So it should be 1938 already, at end of her life, really. Today, what is, they should be 21st January 1938. That means that day, today. During Mass, I saw the Lord Jesus in the midst of his sufferings, as though dying on the cross. He said to me, "My daughter, meditate frequently on the sufferings which I have undergone for your sake, and then nothing of what you suffer for me will seem great to you. You please me most when you meditate on my sorrowful passion. Join your little sufferings to my sorrowful passion, so that they may have infinite value before my majesty." Jesus said to me today, "You often called me Master. This is pleasing to my heart. But do not forget, my disciple, that you are a disciple of a crucified Master. Let that one word be enough for you. You know what is contained in the cross." I've learned that the greatest power is hidden in patience. I see that patience always leads to victory, although not immediately, but that victory will become manifest after many years. Patience is linked to weakness. Jesus asks us to learn from him. He is mild and is meek and patience. So that patience comes first. I spent this whole night with Jesus in the dark dungeon. This was a night of adoration. The sisters were praying in the chapel, and I was united myself with them in spirit. Because poor health prevents me from going to the chapel. But all night long, I could not fall asleep. So I spent the night in the dark prison with Jesus. Jesus gave me to know of the sufferings he experienced there. The world will learn about them on the day of judgment. Word of Jesus. "My daughter, tell souls that I'm giving them my mercy as a defense. I myself am fighting for them and am bearing the just anger of my Father." He took our place. "Say, my daughter, that the face of my mercy has issued forth from my very depths of the consolation of the whole world. Jesus, my peace and my rest, I beg you to give light to that sister so that she may change interiorly. Support her powerfully with your grace so that she too may attain perfection." He's praying for another sister. Today, before Holy Communion, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, today, talk openly to the superior about my mercy, because of all the superiors, she has taken the greatest part in proclaiming my mercy." Sister Irene. And in fact, Mother Superior came this afternoon, and we talked about this work of God. Mother told me that the images had not come out too well and were not selling very well. But she said, "I have taken a good quantity myself and am distributing them wherever I can and do the best I can to spread the work of mercy." When she had gone, the Lord gave me to know how pleasing this soul was to him. Today, the Lord said to me, I have opened my heart as a living fountain of mercy. Let all souls draw life from it. Let them approach this sea of mercy with great trust. Sinners will attain justification, and the just will be confirmed in good. Whoever places his trust in my mercy will be filled with my divine peace at the hour of death. The Lord said to me, my daughter, do not tire of proclaiming my mercy. In this way you will refresh this heart of mine, which burns with a flame of pity for sinners. Tell my priests that hardened sinners will repent on hearing their words when they speak about my unfathomable mercy, about the compassion I have for them in my heart. To priests who proclaim and extol my mercy, I will give wondrous power. I will announce the words and touch the heart of those to whom they will speak. Next paragraph. Community life is difficult in itself, but it is doubly difficult to get along with proud souls. O God, give me a deeper faith that I may always see in every sister your holy image which has been engraved in her soul. So it's not always easy to see Jesus in each person, especially those people who are really proud. But still we have to see Jesus in them. Every lasting love, pure flame, burn in my heart ceaselessly and deified my whole being, according to your infinite pleasure by which you summoned me into existence and called me to take part in your everlasting happiness. O merciful Lord, it is only out of mercy that you have lavished these gifts upon me. Seeing all these free gifts within me, with deep humility, I worship your incomprehensible goodness. Lord, my heart is filled with amazement that you, absolute Lord, in need of no one, would nevertheless stoop so low out of pure love for us. I can never help being amazed that the Lord would have such an intimate relationship with his creatures. Then again is his unfathomable goodness. Every time I begin this meditation, I never finish it, because my spirit becomes entirely drowned in him. What a delight it is to love with all the force of my soul, and to be loved even more in return, to feel and experience this with the full consciousness of one's being. There are no words to express this. January 25th, 1938. My Jesus, how good and patient you are. You often looked upon us as little children. We often beg you, but we don't know what for. Because towards the end of the prayer, when you give us what we have asked for, we do not want to accept it. One day, a certain sister came to me and asked me for prayers, telling me that she could no longer stand things as they were. And so, please pray, sister, I answered that I would, and I began a novena to the Divine Mercy. I learned that God would give her the grace, but that she would once again be dissatisfied when she received it. However, I kept on praying as she had asked me to do. The next day, the same sister came looking for me. And when we again began to talk about the same thing, I told her, "You know, sister, when we pray, we ought not force the Lord God to give us what we want, but we should rather submit to His holy will." But she thought that what she was asking for was indispensable. Towards the end of the novena, the sister came again and said, "Oh sister, the Lord Jesus is giving me the grace, but now I'm a different mind. I'm of a different mind. Please pray so that things will somehow be different again." I answered, "Yes, I will pray, but that God's will be done in you, sister, and not what you want." What's given and she is not satisfied. It's something different. Most merciful heart of Jesus, protect us from the just anger of God. And I pray, a certain sister is constantly persecuting me for the sole reason that God communes with me so intimately. And she thinks that this is all pretense on my part. When she thinks that I have done something amiss, she says, "Some people have revelation but commit such faults." That means, oh, she did, but she makes so much mistakes. She has said this to all the sisters, and always in a derogatory sense, in order to make me out as some sort of an oddity. One day, it caused me much pain to think that this insignificant drop, which is human brain, can so easily scrutinize the gifts of God. After Holy Communion, I prayed that the Lord would enlighten her. But nevertheless, I learned that this soul will not attain perfection if she does not change her interior disposition. If she just stick to judgment, it's difficult to change. Not open. When I complained to the Lord Jesus about a certain person, saying, "Jesus, how can this person pass judgment like that, even about an intention?" People just judge you for nothing. The Lord answered, "Do not be surprised. That soul does not even know her own self. So how could she pass a fair judgment on another soul?" Jesus knows everything. So if someone persecutes you, what can I do? If the person persecuting you, is stick to some stupidity, God respect our freedom, what can I do? If she doesn't change, what can I do? Jesus didn't change his sisters. Jesus invites Faustina to change herself. Think different thing. Think another way. Today I saw Father Andres at prayer. I also knew that he was interceding with the Lord for me. The Lord sometimes makes known to me who is praying for me. I'm keeping myself a bit in the background as though this work of God did not interest me. I'm not speaking about it at present, but my whole soul is steeped in prayer, and I'm entreating God to be so good as to hasten these great gifts, that is to say, the Feast of Mercy. And I see that Jesus is acting, and is himself giving the directives as how this to be carried out. Nothing happens by accident. Today I said to the Lord Jesus, "Do you see how many difficulties there are to be overcome before they will believe that you yourself are the author of this work? And even now, not everyone believes in it." The same questions. In Medjugorje, the six visionaries, still many people doesn't believe them. And he will ask, how come they don't believe us? That's what 30 years ago, they were child. So their children, a lot six of them, all make up all one story. And they were crying because people doesn't trust them. They sit here telling lies, making up the stories. The same is for Stephen. Let's think about
only God can change the person.
You see, people are really suffering. When people doesn't believe you, okay, you can, how quite can you prove? Now, words of Jesus. Be at peace, my child. Nothing can oppose my will. In spite of the murmuring and hostility of the sisters, my will shall be done in you in all its fullness, down to the last detail of my wishes and my designs. Do not become sad about this. I too was a stumbling stone for some souls. Jesus himself, even today, is a stumbling stone for so many people. They don't go to God because they can't see Jesus. Jesus complained to me how painful to him is the unfaithfulness of chosen souls. You know, sinners is okay, understood. But faithful, chosen souls are really, they are loved, beloved by the Lord. And if they are unfaithful, hurt you. Word of Jesus. And my heart is even more wounded by the distress after a fall. It would be less painful if they had not experienced the goodness of my heart. So this Jesus suffered more while distress after a fall. Lose hope. That's the work of the devil. First, tempt you to do something wrong. I mean, not too serious. And then the second step, when you committed it and you lose hope. Oh, Jesus will look at me again. I'm lost. And then fall into another temptation. No. I saw the anger of God hanging heavy over Poland. And now I see that if God were to visit our country with the greatest chastisements, there would still be great mercy, because for such grave transgressions, he would punish us with eternal annihilation, annihilation, become nothing, annihilation. I was paralyzed with fear when the Lord lifted the veil a little for me. Now I see clearly that chosen souls keep the world in existence to fulfill the measure of justice. So really it depends on people. It's so suffering, or for the suffering for sinners. And Faustina is, she's the secretary, general secretary for sinners. But today we share these things. We share when we have pain, we have something wrong, and you don't you offer this to the Lord to support his work of mercy. Let more people trust in Jesus. I saw certain priests' efforts in prayer. His prayer is similar to that of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Olives. Or if that priest, probably Father Sopoko, only knew how pleasing to God that prayer was. Oh Jesus, I'm king, I'm locking myself in your most merciful heart, as in a fortress, impregnable against the missiles of my enemies. Today I found myself in the presence of a certain dying person who was approaching death in my home neighborhood. I supported her with my prayers And after a few moments, I felt for a short while pain in my hand, feet, and side. The suffering. Compensate for the person, the dying person. The dying person maybe didn't do a penance, and she did the penance for them, for her. During January 27, 1938, during Holy Hour today, Jesus complained to me about the ingratitude of souls. Word of Jesus. In return for blessings, I get ingratitude. In return for my love, I get forgetfulness and indifference. My heart cannot bear this. In return for my blessing, I get ingratitude. In return for my love, I get forgetfulness and indifference. My heart cannot bear this. This is pride, human pride. Whatever done, that's my effort, not Jesus' work. That's how we do say, if I don't do it, Jesus cannot fulfill it. So this, the merit come to ourselves. That's what hurt Jesus most. At that moment, love for Jesus was enkindled so strongly in my heart that offering myself for ungrateful souls, I immersed myself completely in Him. When I came to my senses, the Lord allowed me to taste a little of the ingratitude, so ingratitude which flooded His heart. This experience lasts for a short while. That's why Jesus complained also to for sinner once when people receive His communion and take Him as nothing and that object. You remember? So many times I repeat this word, this phrase. You know, Jesus really, in different situations, should complain. Not that Jesus wants to get all this great, the thankfulness. But this, the heart doesn't change. How can you can go to heaven? It's all stuck to self. You don't open. At the last one, you cannot get a grace. That's the problem. Temptation is stronger. And in the end, it's just, you know, anger. This is hell. But not Jesus. This is hell. Today I said to the Lord, when will you take me to yourself? I've been feeling so ill, and I've been waiting for your coming with such longing. Jesus answered me, be always ready. I will not leave you in this exile for long. My holy will must be fulfilled in you. O Lord, if your holy will has not yet been entirely fulfilled in me, here I am, ready for everything that you want. O my Jesus, there is only one thing which surprises me, namely that you make so many secrets known to me. But that one secret, the hour of my death, you do not want to tell me. And the Lord answered me, be at peace. I will let you know, but not just now. My Lord, I beg your pardon for wanting to know this. You know very well why. Because you know my yearning heart, which is eagerly going out to you. You know that I would not want to die even a minute before the time which you have appointed for me before the ages. Jesus listened with wondrous kindness to the outpourings of my soul. January 28, 1938. Today, Jesus said to me, my daughter, write down these words. All those souls who will glorify my mercy and spread its worship, encourage others to trust in my mercy, will not experience terror at the hour of death. Promote the divine mercy. invite people to join the Feast of Divine Mercy. You know when?
April 7th.
Right. Or the first Sunday of Easter. What?
First Sunday of Easter.
Oh, first Sunday of Easter. Remember, invite people. And yourself, first of all, be a disciple of Divine Mercy. And first of all, you leave this message. Otherwise, you give people heaven and you go to the other side. That's bad, no? First of all, you have to be in the mercy of the Lord. My mercy will shield them in that final battle. You know, always battle, especially the time of our dying time. The devil is tearing us away, you know, tempting little ideas, wrong ideas, lose hope. It's always coming. My daughter, encouraged so to say the chaplet which I have given to you. He pleases me to grant everything that he asks of me by saying the chaplet. When hardened sinners say it, I will fill their souls with peace, and the hour of their death will be a happy one. So even you don't believe very much, do you know how to say the chaplet of Divine Mercy by yourself? Do you say every day?
Yes.
At what time? 3 o'clock. The best time. I mean the time of death of the Lord. No? So by that time you... If not, any time. With heart, eh? Let's just say the words. Doesn't help. Every word is a love for Jesus. Trust. Really trust. But many times we say our prayer. This is not prayer. If from the heart, you can feel it, no? We say the prayer.
Yes.
We don't really mean it at times. Write this for the benefit of distressed souls. When a soul sees and realizes the gravity of its sins, when the whole abyss of misery into which it immerses itself is displaced before its eyes, let it not despair, but with trust, let it throw itself into the arms of my mercy as a child, into the arms of its beloved mother. These souls have a right of priority to my compassionate heart. They have first access to my mercy. Tell them that no soul that has called upon my mercy has been disappointed or brought to shame. I delight particularly in a soul which has placed his trust in my goodness. So this was beautiful, the word trust. Just one word. So beautiful. That means to say we don't trust very much because we are proud. We trust in ourselves more than anything. That's a problem. Write that when they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as the merciful savior. So this is how I learned from my pastoral life. Many times I go to visit the sick, or especially very sick. Opportunity comes, usually I say the chaplet, Divine Mercy. You know, even they don't know what will happen. But Jesus promised he will, you know. That when they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful savior. So nice. At that moment, the Lord gave me to know how jealous he is of my heart. No, sorry. How zealous he is of my heart. The word of Jesus. Even among sisters, you will feel lonely. Know then that I want you to unite myself more closely to me. I am concerned about every beat of your heart. Every stirring of your love is reflected in my heart. I thirst for your love. highly believe the love of Jesus so much. I tell you a side story, not concerning this. But why don't you close the door? Because they were going to move they will start the prayer outside. Thank you. Now, I as I told you, I was in Canada. Then I mentioned one or twice that I met the woman had a stigmata, Lillian Barnes. And once she asked me to write a small letter to Jesus. Then I did. That was in December. In March, Jesus appeared to Lillian Barnes. She's still alive. Eh? She's still in Canada. She's your age. She's young, but suffers so much. She's a victim soul. So at this period, she's preparing for her stigmata, because on Good Friday, her hands and neck and side all with blood, pain, already to. All the whole Lent period, she's in pain. And Jesus asked her on March 8th, I think, please tell my precious priest, you know, the word of Jesus is so precious, my precious priest, my son of good intentions. Jesus called me this way, my son of good intentions. Tell him, I took the letter because where the day I gave the letter to Lillian, and she put my letter, just a small letter, small paper, on her prayer table. And Jesus said, that date I took the precious letter from your altar, and I put it into my heart. Whatever he says is in my heart. Now he is waiting for my answer. And after this time, I share with you what I decide for her, for him. You know this, the word of Jesus, my precious priest, my son of good intention. I treasure her words. In fact, that day, I didn't really, in a proper paper, I just tearing from just some kind of scrapping paper, and I just, I didn't write my beloved Jesus. I didn't write this thing. I just my intention, you know. And just my dear son, my precious priest. I can't imagine, you know, all these words. I feel ashamed. The response is so different. You can see Faustina, the words so much, so the word of Jesus so intimate. So lovable, and we are not. Imagine, Jesus, and she. I just write rough letter, rough paper, and then that's how she. Yeah, Jesus respond with these beautiful words. I feel really ashamed. Next time, if I have time, I can read the letter from Jesus to you all. Not he write. Lillian wrote back when Jesus told her all these things, she write down and typing the letter. Next time I write, I share with you the letter, okay? Next time, I didn't have you here. So I'm just sharing how Jesus is so loving. Now, this is, maybe you say, oh, this is Faustina, might be for her. But I personally really experienced. I feel so ashamed. I didn't look at Jesus. My goodness, I never saw. I never saw. Oh, you're so my beloved Jesus. And every two words already, my beloved, my close, my blah, 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 blah. Wow, it's so loving. It's a loving person, no? It's a two, you know, in love. And my dear, my sweetheart. It's three. And Jesus calling Lillian my sweet petal. My sweet petal of the flower, no? The sweet petal. It's like this. Jesus is always as if in a honeymoon. And only we take him as that object. You see how hurt Jesus was. You know, this is this recording. But anyway, I heard I like the people here. Oh, amazing! No comparison. You are real. We are hopeless, really. There are so many priests. Okay. Now, continue. Even among the sisters, you will feel lonely. You know then that I want you to unite yourself more closely to me. I'm concerned about every beat of your heart, you see. Jesus is concerned every beat of our heart also. Lonely for Stina. You too. You don't feel because you don't have this kind of intimacy with Jesus. You feel, you beat for yourself. Jesus tell you, no way, I'm beating with you. I'm as close as to you when water you close to you, yourself. Every stirring of your love is reflected in my heart. You know, see, my goodness. How can you imagine the love of God is so much, so intimate. I thirst for your love. Yes, so Jesus, but my heart would not be able to live without you either. For even if the hearts of all creatures were offered to me, they would not satisfy the depths of my heart. That's the word of Faustina. Another paragraph. Today, toward evening, the Lord said to me, entrust yourself completely to me in the hour of death, and I will present you to my Father as my bride. See, as my bride. And now I recommend that you unite in a special way even your smallest deeds to my merits, and then my Father will look upon them with love as if they were my own. Put everything, yours is mine. Mine is yours, you know. Do not change your particular examen which I have given you through Father's address, namely that you unite yourself with me continually. That is what I am clearly asking of you today. Be a child toward my representatives, because I borrowed their lips to speak to you, so that you will have no doubts about anything. So Jesus worked. On one hand, Jesus telling her, you know, all the secrets of missions. On the other hand, whatever you doubt anything, through my representatives, Father Andres, no? That's a confessor. I will talk through him to you, you see? Not Jesus all the time, just direct. Just make a person humble. Although she is the missioner, at times you have to listen to the priest. For them, he's the confessor. You know, might be at times you're proud. Oh, already I have the direct contact with the Lord. Why have to this priest? What? You know, they never have the message from the Lord, no? You can imagine. I have. That's why once you heard about another woman. Oh, she, yeah. Faustina. Our Heavenly Mother talked to her once, no? Asked her to practice three virtues. And the first virtue, do you remember what?
Humility.
Yes, humility. You know, it's very easy to go into temptation. The devil will do all the best to drag her into tempting her to think that she is great, she is holy, she is wonderful, and the others, secondary class citizen, I'm the first class, I'm beloved by the Lord, and this is pride. The more grace you have, you are nothing. Whatever you have done, you are nothing. Pride gives you, I'm okay. That's already not very okay. You're okay because Jesus is keeping you strong, is okay. Otherwise, you will never be okay. This is how we have to learn all these things. Although you have good, some people have very good gifts, no? Good in writing things and some good in all the images. You know, it's in charismatic prayer groups, no? Some people have the gifts of saying words that you don't know what you're talking about, and some people can interpret your words. But this all work together for the glory of God, not you. No. Okay, for today.